Well, Nav, he's on the verge of moving into the big league, so to speak. He's defending his English title. It's a rematch of the Matthew Mailing fight that happened a couple of months ago, where in the first round, Mailing suffered a cut. It was ruled a head clash, but actually, we tend to think, and looking at Cold World Television as well, we tend to think it was a left hook that caused it. Mm. But, you know, the rematch has been made, and Matthew gets a full training camp for this, whereas he came in at last minute. So I didn't mind giving him a rematch for that. Mailing is such an exciting fighter. He comes forward, you know, he likes where he let his hands go. He's not going to come in and try and box. We all know Nav's so exciting. Nav's got skills, but he chooses to stand there and shoot it out. He's, you know, he just wants to please his fans. If he needs to, he can get behind his boxing. So I think this fight, it's got all ingredients to be a great fight, and it's for an English title. But not only that, Nav's very close to getting out of a British title shot. Whether that's against Liam Smith or if Liam moves on to something else, then, you know, it might be a vacant title shot. But he's, you know, he's literally one fight away. I expect him to go mandatory after this fight. So, you know, in 2014, he gets his opportunity. So he can't slip up. He can't take Mailin lightly. And it's going to be some atmosphere because obviously Nav and Mailin are very local. You know, you've got Rotherham against Barnsley, yeah? So it's going to be a great atmosphere.
I was going to ask you whether, you know, at the end of this year, you know, a lot more people are going to know about Nav,
yeah,
and that he's going to start really knocking, yeah, on the door for some really big fights.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, like I said, he is very exciting, and he came to, I put him in Prize Fighter last year, and he came to the forefront of people's minds there, and people have been tracking him since. And on Cold TV, he's been exciting. He's been showing, you know, what he can do. He just needs, you know, he needs to keep his head focused and keep on it, and keep doing what he's doing. He's training fantastically up in Manchester with Oliver Harrison. So he's getting great sparring with people like Martin Murray. You know, that's quality sparring, that is. So, you know, he's learning a lot. And he's developing, but he's maturing as well as a fighter. So, you know, he's come 2014. Like I said, it's a big year for him, and he's got to give everything to sport, and he's got to go in there, and he's got to follow orders. No matter what he wants to do, he's got to go in there and follow orders. That's a big difference between getting away with wins at area title level, English title level, even, and then stepping up to British title level. You know, you have to be so disciplined and do exactly what your corner tells you.
I can imagine, because you know, his talent will come through at a certain level,
yeah,
but then to take the next step, you've got to, yeah, listen to the guys, yeah, who know what they're talking about,
yeah,
haven't you?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, when you're on the outside, when you're your trainer, you know, you're studying the opponents, and then you're studying the fight as it's unraveling. You see it in a different perspective to yourself that's in the ring. When you're in the ring, you're worrying about the shots that come in your way, and you know, you're trying to work out things. But just taking yourself a little step back, you get to see all the picture unfold. So it's very important that fighters listen to the corners, and so many fights are lost by you know, not listening. The information goes in through one ear, out through the other, and then they go out, do the exact opposite, and they get beat. And at the end of the day, you know, a lot of times fighters, sometimes, you know, they blame the trainer, you know, for losing a fight. But sometimes you've got to take a bit of responsibility and say, well, did you do everything that you were told to all the way through camp? You know, were you doing the right things in sparring that you were told to? Were you working on this? And then on the night, did you do what you were told on the night? You know, and a lot of times, they kind of, especially if you feel that you're in control, sometimes you can get a little bit too cocky. And then you walk onto a shot, and it, you know, if it doesn't end the fight, if you don't walk out and get knocked out, you know, it can change the course of a fight. You can be winning a fight quite comfortably and then get caught with a shot. And then all of a sudden, the other guy thinks, I'm in this. You all of a sudden start having a few little doubts, and it throws you off your game plan. And, you know, and the fight can become really, really difficult.
He's getting a lot of support from Rotherham, isn't he? I mean,
yeah,
the town has really got behind, yeah, him. The football club's getting, yeah, behind him as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. You know, we do a lot. Myself, Spencer and Damien do a lot with Rotherham United and the trust. And, you know, they're looking after us by getting our fighters on the pitch. And we've also got a big banner up in the centre of Rotherham where everybody sees, you know, Nav and Chad are both up there. They're ugly mugs on there. So you know, you can't really miss them. But people are starting to, you know, they're starting to understand that, you know, Rotherham's got a couple of fighters there where, well, hang on a minute, let's follow these. These can do something. And the fact that they're exciting, you know, Nav's really exciting. So, you know, you can push somebody as much as you want. But, you know, when you come and watch them, and if they're boring, then they don't come again. They're not, you know, not really interested in them. But, you know, all the way through Nav's career, he's always been exciting. And that's something that will always stick with him all the way through, you know, as far as he goes in his career. So it's exciting times for him.
Yeah, both Nav and obviously Chad are very entertaining fighters to watch. Where's Chad at the moment? Because he's not fought for a while.
No, I'm a bit disappointed at the moment because he was injured for his last fight when he was supposed to be on Arna's last Ice Sheffield show. And then with this one, we thought, right, you know, give him a good fight and I want to really push him on. And then he's ended up at work. He works on a railway track and he's got about 5 stitches in his hand, but down the side of the hand, down the side of the palm. It's quite a nasty cut. So obviously there's no way that he could train, so he couldn't fight. So Chad's, you know, we're going to look at getting Chad out on our next Ice Sheffield show, which will be, I think it's May 9th we're looking at. So he'll be on that. And then we're going to push him on. You know, he's a talented kid. He's a very, very good kid. And I expect him to be fighting for an English title very, very soon. I'd be very confident in him in fighting Bradley Skeet, you know, tomorrow, you know, as long as he's fit. Mm. I'd take a fight with Bradley Skeet tomorrow. But what we won't do is we want him to be mandatory. Because like Ski is with Frank Moran, so we're not going to sign away options on Chad, and you know, so I think 4-6 fights they ask for options, so it's not going to happen as a voluntary. We want him to be in a mandatory position, so then you know we're in a position to control his own destinies, and that's what I want to do with Chad: get him the English title, and then we can step him up, get him a good international opponent coming through. And his last fight was a very good fight for him, a very good international opponent, and he learned a lot in that fight. So you know, there's things there for him to develop and move on to. But he's an exciting fighter. He's got you know, he's another one that's got all the package. He looks well. In his accent, and you know, he's very attractive to fans, because you just want to like him. You just like him as a kid when you listen to him speak. He's very open and honest, and I think fans like that. And you know, and he can fight, and he can back it up.
Yeah, he's an engaging kid, isn't he? When we've had him in here, he's been great to talk to. Yeah. And you know, if you've not had a chance to see him, if anyone's listening to this, you know, take an opportunity to do that. Going back to Friday, there's the chief support is. It's going to be an interesting one, and also an interesting night for Ryan Rhodes as well.
Yeah, Ryan's. I think it's nippy bum time for Ryan at the moment. He'll be getting a bit nervous now. But it's a big night for him. But it's an even bigger night for Dave Fiddler. You know, Fiddler's absolute. You know, he's a promoter's dream. He's done about 200 tickets. He's just another one that's just a really likable kid. You know, there's nothing fancy about him when he fights. He goes in and then just goes in and gives 100%, and he's exciting, and he can whack a little bit too. You know, but he's done over 200 tickets for this fight. It's a fight actually where it's a genuine grudge match. You know, these two kids don't like each other, Lee Noble and Fiddler. This has been going on for about 8-9 months.
What's the history there?
I think they were supposed to have fought before. I think what happened was Noble started calling Fiddler out. I think after Dave won his international masters title, where he won that, so he's become a champion, and Noble saying, you know, I want a crack, and I think he started insulting him a little bit and stuff on Facebook, and then they were supposed to have fought, and for whatever reason it didn't happen, and then now as soon as he's come over to me, Noble started chirping up again, insulting Dave again, and so. I said to Dave, you know, do you want it? And you were like, yeah. He says, get me. I want to shut this kid up. And the banter on Twitter and Facebook has just been unreal. And it's genuine. It's not just to sell tickets. It is genuine that they just don't like each other. So I'm expecting a bit of a grueler in this fight, because Lee Noble, forget about his record. This kid goes in against the top fighters. You know, the top fighters in Britain. He's fought them all. You know, and he's given them all good fights, and he doesn't get stopped. And when he's had notice to train for a fight, and he's trained, he's gone and beaten kids, good kids. So this is a proper fight. And, you know, it's one of those fights where you look at and it is actually 50-50. And if you want to go on experience, then really you'd lean towards Lee Noble, because he's got the experience at a high level. Dave's only fought, you know, he's not fought, you know, the same quality of fighters. His last couple of fights he's had good kids that he's fought, but still not the level that Noble's fought. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting. And, it's a new environment for Fiddler. He's, like you say, he's got Ryan in his corner now. So it's the first time that them two have worked together. You know, it's something new. So he's been working on different things in the gym. So he's got to put it all together in one fight. Whereas Noble, he's with Ingles, you know. He's been there all the way through, and he knows what he's got to do. All he's got to do is listen to Dom, you know. And if he does what he's told, then it's going to be an absolute great fight.
One to look forward to. We're also going to see Haroon Khan, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. That's a little bit interesting, isn't it? A little bit interesting if Mia Khan's here and Kell Brook's there.
Yeah. Well, is there a chance?
Well, there's a very good chance, because I know Kell's coming, and I have been told that Amir, depending on this situation with Floyd Mayweather, whether he's got Floyd Mayweather or not, originally Mayweather was supposed to have announced it at the Super Bowl, and then because Khan signed the contract a couple of months ago.
Was he too busy making up for his $10 million bet that he had on the losing team?
Yeah, do you know what? That's just unbelievable, that is. I mean, I suppose him putting $10 million on is probably like us putting a grand, it's probably something
it probably
like that.
$10 million is still $10 million, though, isn't
it? But that's what I'm saying. It is still a hell of a lot of money, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, you know, I don't care how much money you've got. If you're putting $10 million on a bet, that's just silly, that is. Yeah. You know, there's so much you can do with $10 million.
Someone's happy, though.
Someone's happy, yeah, but not him. But yeah, he was supposed to announce it, and then, you know, I think what they were saying is there's certain dates where they're supposed to do a tour, press tour to announce and stuff. And Khan was penciled in that he can come back on Friday to be ringside. Now, because they've delayed that, and now Mayweather's talking about Maidana, it's a bit up in air. I don't know what's going to happen with the fight. So Khan, I don't know whether he'll be ringside or not. It might be, it might not be, but it'll be interesting if he is.
You might have on the Colwell app. You might have to have a. A Khan Brook
face off, yeah.
Cam, just to keep an eye on them throughout the evening.
Yeah, might do that. But Arun's a good, you know, Arun's a good talent himself. Very good. He was a very good amateur. He's turning out to be a good pro. So it's going to be interesting to see him on the bill as well. But it'll be good. Yeah, it adds a little bit of flavour to the show. But also we've got Maxi Hughes on. I'm really excited about Maxi. He's down at he trains with Gary Lockett now, down in Wales. He's took himself off away from Rossington, away from his family and everything, and he goes 5 weeks before a fight, trains down there, lives down there, and he's dropped down to super featherweight. So this is going to be interesting, see what he's like at super featherweight, because he was a big lightweight, you know, a chunky, well-muscled sort of lightweight. But Gary's got him down to the weight. He's with a nutritionist, and I spoke to Maxi last night, and he says he's feeling absolutely fantastic. He can't wait to get in there as a super featherweight, and he's fighting a good kid. He's got a kid that's 8-3, coming off of 6 wins, and 4 of those 6 wins are knockouts. So this is going to be, you know, it's not a walkover fight for him for his first fight at super featherweight. And then we're going to be looking at names like, you know, your people like John Simpson, your Sykes, Troy James, people like that. So I'd like to make big fights for Maxi after this. Let's just see how he goes on Friday night.
There's a lot of stuff going on that we want to get into as well. Just quickly, you know, if people want to get down on Friday, I Sheffield, is the tickets available still?
There is, because we've just had a pullout with Nathan McCann. Nathan had done 150 tickets, and before that, basically, it was looking like a sellout. But because we've got some of his tickets back, there will be tickets left on door. But as we are now, there is only like his tickets, 150 tickets left. But they're, you know, the £30 unreserved, and there's a very few ringsides at 60s that are left, and they'll be on the door, so people can come down on the day and grab them.
And if not, there's the Colwell app anyway, isn't
there? That's it. If not, you can watch Colwell television.
There you go. A lot going on this week, as we mentioned there. You've been in Liverpool this week.
Yeah.
Obviously, I want to get into that.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you about Kell Brook in a bit, seeing as we've touched on him. But first, Tony Bellew.
Yeah.
I mean, what did he learn from the defeat that he had? He's going to take forward now.
He learned a lot. The whole experience. I mean, you know, Ryan will tell you, you know, anywhere it's boxed abroad, it's totally different. It's entirely different. Especially when you're the away man against a big, big name. I mean, Stevenson's one of the superstars at sport. And Bellew, you know, he had a game plan. He never got the chance. The problem with a game plan where you're kind of like waiting for the late rounds against a big puncher, the problem is if he gets rid of you before the late rounds come in, people think that you never did anything in the fight. But, you know, he had a great round 4. It was competitive in the early first 2 rounds. Round 3 was an absolute nightmare. And then 5 and, you know, 6, it was just, you know, it just, the class just told. There's a massive jump up in levels from British, European level to even some world level and then elite level. Stevenson's an elite level fighter. And Tony, what he's been doing, you know, boiling himself down to light heavyweight from when he turned pro. I took him down to get his deal with Frank Warren at the time. So I've known Tony right from the start of his pro career. And when I took him down, he was about 16 and a half stone. And he said to me, "So I'm going to do light heavyweight." I was like, "What?" I said, "You can't do light heavyweight." "So I'm going to do light heavyweight." And he, from the first fight he's had, to me, he's always looked frail. He's always looked skinny. Now, in the amateurs, he was a heavyweight, which is actually in the pros is cruiserweight.
Yeah.
And he was knocking everybody out. And I mean sleeping everybody. You don't get proper sleep people in amateur boxing with the head guards and the big gloves. You know, and he was knocking everybody out. And also, when he used to spar with David A, he used to be about 13, 10, 14 stone. And he used to stand there and have proper ding-dongs with David A, and he used to take David's shots, and he used to catch David and hurt David. So, you know, at that sort of weight, he is at his optimum weight. Now, coming down to 12 and a half stone, he'd be a total different man. You know, you see him in the ring, he didn't look, he never looked like, he's got this nickname, Bomber Bellew. He never looked like a bomber. A little bit, you know, second-guessing himself and everything, because he knew that he wasn't the same sort of, he didn't have the same strength, and also being able to take a shot. You know, he can take a shot, but not as good as when he's up in weight. Now, he's been working at cruiserweight. It's not going to be a big mammoth cruiserweight. He's going up to what he's naturally comfortable at, which is about 13, 10, 14 stone. And he looks so much stronger. He had a sparring session day before yesterday where he sparred with Courtney Fry, who was a very good fighter, and a big lump as well. And they've sparred when Tony was a light heavyweight. And Courtney's actually said, you know, he couldn't believe that, you know, the difference in him. It's so much better, so much sharper, and hitting so much harder. So I've got high hopes for Tony at cruiserweight. He's naturally that weight. You know, he's simple as he's naturally at cruiserweight. He just takes it away from him at light heavyweight. So, you know, he's got Brudoff March 15th. It's a very tough fight. It's 41-4. You know, former world title challenger and a good fighter at that. So we're straight away, there's no point in boxing at that very, very high level then dropping right down to journeyman level. You know, you need to be back down, you need to be brought back, but you still need a fight where you're in a test and somebody asks questions of you and you know, are you good enough, are you going to fit into this weight, and do you want it? So he's got it.
And talking of being asked questions, I mean, he was asked a bit predictably about Nathan Cleverley.
Yeah.
The other night, and yeah. He said some interesting things. That's going to happen, isn't it? That's got to happen.
I think so. We were talking. Funny enough, we were talking about. I was with him yesterday. And we were talking about it yesterday. Cleverley, Eddie will make it. Eddie will try to make it. I think financially, it makes sense for both fighters. It's a massive, massive fight. You know, they can't stand each other. It all depends on whether Cleverley stays at cruiserweight or not. I'm not sure Cleverley, who wasn't a big banger at light heavyweight, can go up to cruiserweight. You know, I'm not sure about that. And so if he goes back down to light heavyweight, that fight will never happen.
Yep.
But if he comes to cruiserweight, I think that fight will happen, and I think it'll be this year.
One to look forward to,
yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah, definitely.
Kel was at the... Obviously, he's going to be part of this show next month in Liverpool. I just wanted to get, you know, a thought from you on him because you know him so well. Yeah. How frustrating do you think this sort of 12 months will have been for him? Because it feels like whenever we've talked to him, it's been one setback after another. Yeah. Initially, the injuries.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we're all waiting after his last fight. You know, he's going to get this world title shot, then Devin Alexander loses, and then all of a sudden he gets thrown up in the air again. And now we're kind of waiting to find out who's going to fight next month. What do you think this year's been like for him?
It must have been very, very hard for him. It must have been really hard for him because you think that you're within touching distance of your dream, what you've worked for, what you've dreamt for since you were a little kid, and then it's gone, it's taken away from you. On one point, obviously, he had injuries, but then on another point, is Alexander had injuries, and then, like you say, Alexander went and got beat. That's boxing. But what fighters have got to realise is the hardest thing is getting into that position and becoming next to fight for the world title. So once you get in that position, just stick your head on it. Just keep. You're gonna get your shot. Mm. It's just a matter of time. If it's a delay of a few weeks, so what? You know what I mean? You're in that position. So there's nothing to be down about and you know, frustrated about, because you're going to get your position, you're going to get your opportunity because you're there. The hardest thing, I mean, any fighter out there would swap places to be, you know, with Kell Brook to be in that position. Anybody would be. So there's no need to be, you know, dwelling on what's happened. What's happened's happened. Just focus. You're going to get your shot now, so you have to make sure that everything from here on in is focused for that shot. Whether it's Thurman or Porter, Kell's got to be the best that Kell Brook can be, you know. So whatever his training team tell him to do in order to get the best out of him, he has to do 100%. It's no good when you're boxing at that level, it's no good doing it 90%, 80%, 98%. You've got to do it 100%. You know, if they want him to do this, he's got to do it. If he feels tired but they still think he needs to do it, he's got to do it. You know, when you're a boxer and you're in that position, he's going to get one shot because of the delays and because of all the hype behind Kell Brook and eliminators and people seem, like you say, seem to think that it's been going on forever. He gets one shot at this. Mm. If he doesn't win this world title, then it's a long road back because he's going to drop back behind Q. Mm. You know, unless it's an absolute barnstorming fight and Will sits up and takes notice and says, wow, then he'll get another opportunity to get somebody else. But you know, if he gets beat, full stop, a lot of people write him off, and that'll be very, very hard for him to take. So he's got to do, you know, he's got to do the best that Kell Brook can. And I think that if he prepares 100% right, and if he's 100% on it, and he goes out there, then I think he beats Thurman or Porter. You know, I don't think Thurman's Superman. He's a great prospect, but again, it's a little bit like, you know, you don't know how good these fighters are until they fight top level fighters. You know, it might just be a really even fight, you know, and it can go either way. And when it's an even fight, the guys that prepare the best are usually the guys that get it, you know, that just have that little extra gear, they just have that little bit of push in them, you know, and that little bit of more belief. If Kell goes into that ring knowing that he's done everything right and he couldn't have done any better in his training camp, then it gives him a bit of an edge, you know. You know, once you've got doubts in your head, when the MC's making those introductions and the crowd's going mad and you're just looking across it and waiting for that first round bell, those little doubts, if you cheat on a run, if you cheat on your diet or this, that, and other, you bring them up in your head.
Mm.
And it just makes it that little bit more hesitant, you know. But if you do everything right, then you haven't got them doubts, and you just go out and do the best that you can do.
Mm. He's going to get a lot of support from the region, obviously, and hopefully, yeah, you know, finally he's going to get this opportunity, yeah, and nail
it. It's got to happen before June, that's what I mean. He's got his opportunity, so before June he gets his shot.
Let's hope that it goes well for him. Let's speak about Curtis now, because this is a really, you know, it's a feel good story. You know, we all want to see Curtis.
It'll feel good on 23rd if he wins.
It will do, yeah. We all want to see him do it, and finish on a high. I mean, how much are you looking forward to this?
Oh, massively, massively. Like I said, the morning after, it could be the best feeling ever. Mm. You know, it's something, because basically I've been there from the start with him. You know, it's been lots of ups and downs. I know exactly what it means to Curtis Woodhouse. You know, I know what he's put himself through in training. I know the times when, you know, when Kel were at our gym and Ryan and Curtis, and Curtis would be sparring with them too and getting absolutely hammered, you know, just outclassed and so frustrated, and Kel bashing him up and he coming next day wanting to spar again. And he, you know, he's one of them that you know that what it means to him, because he's willing to put himself through that. Mm. You know, there's lots of kids that are unbeaten and got fancy records that when they get bashed up in sparring, they don't want to come back the next day, you know. But he's one of these that, all right, it's going to make me better, you know, I'm going to learn from it. So, you know, for him to put everything to one side, forget about the football story, forget about the money that he earned out of football, just the preparation that he's done in his fights. He's trained. You can't say that anybody else has prepared over the years any harder than him. You know, he's put everything out there for himself, and he has been, you know, where he's been outclassed in sparring, and he's learned, he's come back, he's better. And then you see the adjustments, you see the differences in him, you know, and then you think, wow, he can actually fight. And then all of a sudden people start giving him respect, you know. So it'll be massive. It'll be everything. It was heartbreaking against Derry Matthews because we didn't get to see what Curtis can do. I said all along that I weren't confident in him taking a shot at lightweight. You know, he wanted to go down to lightweight. He wanted, you know, he felt that he could make the weight easily. But when he made the weight, although he had his power there, he didn't have his legs there. you know. And you know, Curtis is a light welterweight. He's got wide shoulders. He's got a wide back. You know, he is a light welterweight. That's his best weight. And if ever he's going to become a British champion, it's on February 22nd.
Is he a pioneer? Not, I'm not just talking about, you know, obviously there are people who've turned to boxing and football, and you know, he's kind of like made it real, you know, made it possible perhaps, but not just in that, but he's also, you know, this is a guy who, you know, whenever we've had a chance to speak to him, he's got so much enthusiasm and energy about what he wants to do, and this is a guy who hasn't gone on and fought for world titles and made millions out of the sport, yet he still seems to love everything about working hard and getting stuck in.
But I think that you've just touched on that. He doesn't talk about the money aspect, because although we'd all like to get rich and we'd all like to have plenty of money, that's not his driving force. He had money when he was playing football, you know, he had money and he wasn't happy with it. So he's a man that knows what it's like to earn a good whack, but also to know that doesn't actually make you happy and that doesn't fulfill your dreams. And so he's not in boxing for the financial aspect. He's in it because, number one, he loves fighting, and number two, he's got a massive determination to succeed. And I think when you have that, I think that supersedes any driving force or motivation for money, because you know money, if it's about money, it's not in your soul. It doesn't, you know, when going gets really, really tough, if you get beat in a fight, you're getting paid anyway, whether you win or you lose. Do you know what I mean? And so if it's down to money, sometimes it can just, it don't give you that driving force. But if you want to win that bad, and if you want to succeed that much, then when it gets really, really hard, and you have to dig down and find something to spur you on in your darkest moments in a fight, you can do that. And same in training. Training's brutal. People think that boxing, the fight night's brutal. The training's so much harder because you're doing your weights, you're doing your fitness circuits, you're doing your bag stuff, you're doing everything. And then on top of that, you're getting punched while you're tired, while you're sore from the weights from yesterday and the day before. You're getting in there and you're having to spar. The other guy's fresh because he's coming in as a sparring partner. He's not doing all that stuff. He's just coming into spar. And you've done this, that, and other, and you feel dreadful. And then somebody's punching you in head and punching you in body. And you've got to put the output out as well. So the training bit is so much harder than the fight. And people don't understand that. They just see the fight night. And that's hard enough for them.
Yeah, I want to talk about the fight itself closer to the time, and I'm sure we'll have a chance to talk before the 22nd. I just wanted to finish with this. Are you going to really savour, I mean, what is it, 2.5 weeks, 17 days until this fight takes place? How much are you really going to savour these sort of last 17 days, you know, preparing for Curtis's last hurrah?
It's because it's been, like I say, it's been a great ride. It really has been a great ride. And you know, it's I understand why he wants to call it a day. 100%. He actually explained it along the lines of what happened with football. His goal was to become a footballer. Mm. Once he got to his goal of becoming a professional footballer, he kind of thought, I've cracked it, and started slipping because he didn't put the effort in there. So he's worried that he'll do the same thing. His absolute dream is to become a British champion, not a European champion, not a world champion, to become a British champion. So if he achieves his dream, then does he start not slacking but not putting the exact same effort in and then blow it? And he doesn't want to do that. So I understand why he wants to get out at this, you know, get out at the top, so to speak. So it is, when he explained it, it is quite sad, because it's been a great ride. It's been, you know, I don't think that in my time as a manager, a trainer or a promoter, I don't think I'll work with a fighter again that's come from that background and had the ups and downs. And it's the ridicule from the start, I think, that the fact that everyone just saw him as a joke, to turn that into where everybody actually sees you as a legitimate fighter. I don't think I'll come across that again in my career. So it is something to savour, and it's something I'll miss. I'll miss working with him. I'll miss being around him, you know, regular like we do. I mean, with Ryan, I'm quite fortunate because although he's retired, he's training fighters in my gym, so I still see him every day. I still give him, you know, we still have a lot of banter and we still have a crack. But every, you know, occasionally Mike sticks his gloves on and I might take him up pads and I and he said, oh, a bit of a flashback here. but yeah, I think it'll be a sad day when, you know, when he does call it a day.